Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
And number three, order that the mayor and the city will each bear their own attorney's fees and costs such that there will be no taxation of attorney's fees and costs for or against either the mayor or the city. And number four, dismiss the litigation with prejudice. And I'd make the motion that we approve it.
Second.
I personally am not in favor of not collecting the documents that the judge already ruled was public record. I understand that the actions of the council doesn't support that, of my fellow council members, but I think the ones that have already been ruled on that are public records, I think those should be produced as well, not just the ones that were not objected to. I know there was quite a few that there was questions on. I'm fine with those being left alone. But the ones that the judge said are public records, I think, should be turned over to the city clerk. That's my opinion.
So Casey Powell, the one voice of dissent on the Milton City Council, who says, no, we should get all the documents that the judge says we're entitled to. We shouldn't dismiss the lawsuit. I know you guys are bent on dismissing it. We shouldn't give up the opportunity to get legal fees, which the mayor would almost certainly have to pay us if we pursued this. And we shouldn't give up on the remaining 300 or so documents. Who knows how many texts or emails that is, maybe 5 or 10,000, based on the general math of 3,000 documents produced, 100,000 texts. And so if you do the math, you could have at least a couple hundred, obviously, if there's 300 documents, but could be as many as a few thousand of these texts. These are the ones she's really fighting to keep, has spent thousands and thousands of dollars fighting to not produce. Why? Well, I don't know. I've read the ones that were produced. They were produced, and they were boring. There was only a couple of things in there, fairly minor things. Something that I've mentioned to you before, but one that I find hilarious is back when you had the termination of Dawn Molinaro, the former city clerk, you had a lawsuit or a legal effort by her to get paid more from the termination. In that conversation, one of her allies on the city council, she's allied with the mayor, Heather Lindsay, very close friend, like they had gone to her house to call, you know, Scott Collins back anyway, and Marilyn Farrow, also another ally of the mayor's and of former clerk Molinaro. Alex Andrade, the lawyer, had actually sent a memo to Marilyn Farrow, a confidential legal advice memo to Marilyn Farrow about the item that night on whether to pay Dawn Molinaro the back fees or not, or to pay her severance or whatever, and given her very clear guidance on what he thought was legal and not legal in this situation. Marilyn Farrow, I'm looking at the picture of it, printed out the email from the city attorney with the note at the bottom. This is confidential. This is privileged communication. Printed it out, took a photo with her phone, emailed it from a private email to Dawn Molinaro's private email, the terminated city employee who was the subject of a city meeting that night, who then sent it to the mayor's private email. It looks like a breach of fiduciary duty or something to me, but it's just such a third-grade caper. Like, I'm going to print the email out, and then I'm going to take a picture of it with my phone, and then I'm going to send a copy. I mean, John, I showed you this picture. It's amazing, right?
Oh, it is. Trust me.
I should almost put that up on Facebook. It's just so amazing. Anyway, that's all in the past. Now we're on to episode three. They have voted. They are going to vote. They did vote to terminate the lawsuit, to dismiss the seeking of the actual public records that are still remaining. If the judge agrees, that means we'll never know, except unless somebody else brings the lawsuit, which I suspect somebody else will. Howard Steele as much as promised that he would. They're not going to seek legal fees. Everybody's going to call it a day. Then you have the Pitchfork Posse folks, Pam Mitchell and Lauren Cooper Rodgers, getting up there and saying, well, really, the mayor's the one who's been wronged in all of this because she had to spend all of her money. Anyway, so then a subsequent thing comes up later on in the meeting where they claim that Alex Andrade, the former city attorney, has a bunch of records that he's not willing to give over without charging an hourly fee to provide them, which is a very common practice, especially when you're a lawyer who makes money by the hour. So Larry McKee says,
and then other
new city council member Larry McKee, one who voted to drop the lawsuit.
And then otherwise, I agree with Councilman Lee. We do not. We're getting out of a money pit as it is. Let's not start a new one. And I can agree with that. But I don't want to spend a whole lot of money on it either. I just think that if I would like for Mr. Adams and the firm to get a hold of Mr. Andrade and see what he thinks about this. But I think it would be rather hypocritical after the last actions of the last year for him not to follow the statute and turn over the records.
Well, as soon as he knows that you are not going to pursue these records, he's not going to have much incentive to turn them over without charging you.
Okay, so the voice is there, Larry McKee. I think Tom Powers is the second voice, another new city council member. If I've got that wrong, I apologize. And then Mayor Heather Lindsay saying, if you're not going to be willing to sue him to get his records, then why does he have a reason to give them? Now, there are two kinds of records that Alex Andrade would have. Records type number one would be all of his like official documents as the attorney, like the file. Like when you go to the doctor's office, they have a file on you, you know, your health records. Those records. I mean, those records are going to be transferred over, probably already have been transferred over. That would be uncontroversial. I can't imagine that he would hold those records. I don't think he would. So this is something else, another records request of some kind off of his phone, from his email, something that's not contained in the sort of official whatever documents. And he's just saying, you know, you got to pay me per hour in order to get those. And they're saying, well, we don't want to pay. We want them for free. We don't want to sue.
We need to give him the opportunity to do this civilly. And, you know, I don't want to get into another spending war with him. I don't want to get into another lawsuit against him. I just think it's we need to ask the question. Can you, you know, you need to turn these records over. He did ask for what period of time. I think it's that period of time is from the day he started with the city until the day we terminated the contract. All of that business is city records that he should turn over. We should maintain them.
So just to keep score, the same city council that just voted to terminate the effort to get the city records that the mayor has and has been unwilling to turn over that the judge says she owes is now trying to pursue Alex Andrade to give over all of his records. Okay, we'll be back to this. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. But the biggest delay is happening over on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. We're seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay. And also, if you're going southbound on Avalon trying to get on I-10, expect about a 9 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, I know Alex really well. I'm sure that his answer on, I feel confident speaking for him, that his answer on the, like, the case file is here, you know, of course. And that his answer on if he has to go through, like, his phone and get text messages and things like that, his answer is going to be, of course, but that's going to take me time, so here's a reasonable fee for my time, which is a very normal thing to happen in these kind of situations. So it's not like he wouldn't. But he apparently had told them he wouldn't do it, you know, just for free because that's time and lawyers make money based on how much time they use. All right. So, again, Pam Mitchell, the founder of the Pitchfork Posse, one of the key organizers of Concerned Citizens for Milton and the Black Save Our Blackwater and all of this, and the political winner in the last election. Definitely have to give an ally of the mayor, an ally of, you know, Heather Lindsay and of Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack. And she says,
Mr. Leak, you had said that you didn't want to spend any more money. I totally agree with you. Totally. But it's statutory. That means if he doesn't produce it, you can go to the state attorney's office, and the state attorney can pursue it on your behalf. So I agree wholeheartedly. We don't need to spend money on a private attorney to do it. But by golly, if you think of the hell that he has put this council and this city through for the last year— with the public records lawsuit that he brought against the mayor.
The city council did.
And for us just to sit here and say you're going to roll over if he doesn't produce them, he just doesn't produce them, and we're not going to go after him, the state attorney is your avenue for that.
So you gave up the lawsuit against the mayor for her public records. You don't care what the judge said about her still retaining public records that she has not produced. You're dropping the lawsuit. You have no interest in prosecuting her. But now you're talking about prosecuting Alex Andrade for something he hasn't even refused to do yet? Okay, interesting position.
I personally have asked for some records from Mr. Andrade, some phone messages and text. And I've been told that it'll be $750 for him. And mine was very concise. You know, I gave him dates, a month. I gave him specific people, $750. And that's just, that goes against the very heart of the Sunshine Law and the statutes. That was done to turn away people that are trying to get public information.
Okay. I mean, in an ideal world, everything's free. But we don't live in that ideal world, and sometimes you do have to pay for public records. That's not that uncommon. If he thinks that it's going to take him a couple of hours to fulfill it, maybe benevolence, he should just do it, but he's a lawyer. He gets paid. I mean, you know, these are, I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, the idea that he just has to spend his time doing a thing because you're barraging him with public records requests or even asking reasonable ones, well, I don't, you know, that's where we're at.
He, more than anyone, he should be fulfilling the statute and doing it. You know, what was his thing about it being your duty, a ministerial duty? Well, it's time for him to cough up his records and do his ministerial duty.
Which, again, he would, except he wants compensation for it.
And what I came up here to ask y'all was, if you follow through and get the records that you should be provided for under this statute, then the city clerk, who is the custodian of records, can fulfill my request, and y'all don't have to worry about me suing the city council for not doing their duty.
So now, again, unwilling to pursue the lawsuit that the judge has already ruled you're on the verge of winning against the mayor. She's the victim, but turning around and threatening to sue the city if they won't properly go after Alex. And this is, I mean, we are in amazing Alice in Wonderworld land now. Marilyn Farrow, city council member.
We should hear from him, but then I think we need to pursue this in some manner. It just seems very obvious to me. It's rules for thee, but not for me. Prime example.
One could say that's already seeming to be true with the prior case. Oh, my goodness. There's so much more. I wish I had time for another episode. I really have one more episode in me today. So maybe in the 8 o'clock hour. I have an interview at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Talk to Sam Abel about the city of Gulf Breeze. That does not have these problems. Oh, and by the way, just this is a like semi-unrelated follow-up. Remember last hour we were talking to Brad Baker and we found out that the county is pursuing its own wastewater treatment plant because they don't trust the city of Milton. I'm a little putting words in his mouth, but the city of Milton has not shown their ability to actually process wastewater treatment, you know, to do that. And it's essential for growth. And because they can't bank on that they're developing it on their own, basically. If the county develops that and the city can't expand into East Milton and generate the revenue that they would have otherwise expected to be able to get from it, that is going to be a massive blow to future revenue improvement for the city of Milton. Ed Spears, the city administrator, has actually told the city council, if we don't get this new funding coming in, we may have to cut essential services because the simple property tax are going to not keep up with what we need to be doing. The city of Milton that voted down the wastewater treatment plant that could have been in process right now to being built, that could have solved that problem, that would have been making a profit for the city of Milton as an enterprise, and they voted it down, that profit potential or that revenue potential is being taken over by the county because nobody can trust the city of Milton to do anything right. And that may well come back to have massive financial consequences to the city of Milton if they can't expand revenue in that way, meaning your property taxes may have to go up or something else may have to happen. Now, I don't know. That's all future possibility, but do you see the spiraling consequences of their decision to vote down the wastewater treatment plant? There is a meeting of the city council tonight. You are welcome to attend as the public. You are welcome to talk and ask questions. It's a great place to live. It really, John, you live in the city.
I do. I
it's
love
it. It's a great
it.
Place to live.
It really is.
It's a, I mean, and the staff that works at the city is fabulous.
They
Every
are amazing.
Member of the staff that I
yeah.
have ever met or worked with or talked with is amazing.
Me too.
It's just you've got these elected officials. And I have to say, and I have to exempt from that criticism because sometimes it's like the whole council. Casey Powell is doing his best. Okay? I like Gavin Hawthorne too. He wasn't there for this particular meeting. But Gavin Hawthorne is doing – it's the other six and the mayor. Understand who you really have to deal with. You know, it's not like – sometimes you say it's all the whole commission. It's the whole council. in my opinion, Andrew McKay's opinion, not everybody shares it, okay? Fact versus opinion. It's not the whole council. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, gosh, these texts. I'll see if I can get to these in a minute. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still no accidents to report to you right now, but we're still seeing those slowdowns on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, stretching way past Wind Haven Beach. So just be aware of that. That's about a 12 to 15 minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. So be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Real quick, wrapping up a couple of these texts, 437, 1620. Irony is apparently dead in the city of Milton. Somebody just says, wow. Somebody says, you have to pay to get your medical records copied. Somebody says, let's get I think that's the mayor, to do her part of the job for free. This makes you ponder if some communities are capable of electing competent people. Maybe a statewide vote on term limits would leave the decision to a hopefully smarter majority. My campaign pitch for City of Milton Council. I'm not them, and I don't have experience, but I do have a brain. And somebody else just says, after all of this, you really think Alex Andrade is going to lift a finger to help the City of Milton for free? Oh, my goodness, you're crazy. Also, and at the state, you know, remember the complaint about why, oh, we didn't get our funding projects. Huh. When you behave this badly, incompetently, huh. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing, and that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Go, go, Gadget Coach! Wowzers!
Stand it. 729 here on News Radio.
Wowzers.
92.3. Wowzers.
Wowzers.
God, Inspector Gadget was such a fun, terrible show. It was great. It was great, terrible. It was great, like old. It was like the end of good cartoons.
Saturday morning
cartoons. That's exactly right. It was the end, the last era of good Saturday morning cartoons. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Oh, I miss Saturday morning cartoons. They
no kidding. When every kid had an appointment, you had a, you know, you want to get your kids up on a Saturday morning? Have cartoons.
You know, you can go on YouTube and they have full blocks of Saturday morning cartoons from different eras.
I know.
I've turned them on, but kids now won't watch them. What is this? The Supreme Court ruling temporarily against a man mistakenly deported to an El Salvadoran prison. Chief Justice John Roberts issued the order yesterday, indefinitely blocking the deadline for Kilmar Abrego Garcia to be returned to the U.S. The judge had previously ordered the Justice Department to bring Garcia back by midnight tonight.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, particularly about the new funding agreement interlocal with the Board of County Commissioners.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says he'll add another 50% tariff on Chinese imports if new tariffs on American products there are not lifted today.
Officials are warning today the U.S. threat to escalate tariffs on China is a mistake on top of a mistake and once again exposes the blackmailing nature of the U.S. China will never accept this. If the U.S. insists on its own way, China will fight to the end.
Fox's Peter Ducey. High-level talks to limit Iran's nuclear program are scheduled Saturday.
A deal is preferable to the alternative, President Trump says.
I think if the talks aren't successful with Iran, I think Iran is going to be in great danger.
Earlier this year, President Trump sent a letter to Iran's supreme leader asking for negotiations. At the time, Iran's president said that proposal was rejected.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Oman is hosting the talks on Saturday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 47 degrees and sunshine in Pensacola. Santa Rosa County Commissioners approved a $365,000 study for tolls on the Navarre Beach Bridge yesterday. If implemented, the tolls would be used for maintenance on the existing bridge and to save money for grant matches on a new one.
I have some concerns about having a toll just to, or in addition of only, not only just raising the funds for matching funds, but also for repairs when that is the only one that we do that in the county for. We don't do that for any other roads or anything where we use maintenance. So I still have a little concern about that. I know that we're not voting on. I know we're voting just for the study, but just want to be on the record.
District 3 Commissioner Red Rowell, the replacement costs for the bridge have been estimated at between $150 and $300 million. The county hired Jacobs Engineering to perform the study and design a toll-by-plate system for that bridge. Organizers for the Baldwin County Strawberry Festival are warning about online scams targeting their potential vendors.
Scammers have been commenting on social media, offering vending spaces for sale and requesting direct messages for payment details. But festival officials took to Facebook, warning people not to pay anyone claiming that there are additional spaces, as they are full and have a formal vendor approval process. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Florida legislators are still working on a state budget, but that's been a bit of a difficult task with uncertainty regarding federal funding. That's at least according to state Democrats.
I've never seen the House, Senate, and governor's budgets so far apart, and I think there's a lot of ground to cover. It doesn't seem like they are on the same page at all, so I don't know that we'll end on time.
And that's House Minority Leader Representative Fentrice Driscoll. She says Florida's economy is global, and President Trump's tariffs could do damage to the state's economy. The House and Senate scheduled to take the budget back up on Wednesday. Florida is number one with American tourists. That according to Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. He said Florida is once again the top vacation destination for Americans. He said the state secured an all-time record of 15.5% share of the domestic vacation market last year. That's up from 2023. The governor said it's the sixth time Florida's broken its own tourism record since he took office. Well, your next chance to get a better look at Escambia County's EMS operations is happening this weekend. They're hosting an open house event at the Public Safety Building. That's over on North W Street. It'll be happening Saturday from noon until 4. There's hands-on activities, Easter egg hunt for the kids. You can tour the facility, check out some of the new ambulances and gear they've they've received recently. And you can also help judge a chili cook-off between EMS staff. It's 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Let's see here. We got a couple accidents to let you know about. Chicago Avenue and Christopher Street. The road is blocked there. And let's see here. Other than that, no more accidents to let you know about. Still seeing major delays. I-10 eastbound is backed up all the way to 9 Mile Road. So between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Expect about a 18 to 20 minute delay in that area. Also 98 eastbound, right east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. Expect about a 15 to 18 minute delay there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now we've got 47 degrees, sunshine. It's a bit of a brisk morning out there. Later on today, we should be up in the low 70s and pretty much low 70s and sunshine every day here for the most of the week here, and then back up to around 80 by the time we hit the weekend. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our market report from Your Money Now. Hold on, having a bit of an issue with my audio here on that. 736 here at News Radio. Now Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said on CNBC that it's Vietnam's non-tariff cheating that matters, citing examples such as how Chinese goods are often exported from Vietnam and intellectual property theft. This suggests that the Trump administration sees tariffs as a way to fundamentally change global trade. Colossal Biosciences, a Dallas-based biotech firm with a $10 billion valuation, has announced a new breakthrough in its mission to resurrect extinct animals. The company said it has created three dire wolves, a species not seen on Earth in more than 12,000 years. Senator Dave McCormick said it is too soon to pass judgment on the sweeping tariffs imposed by President Trump. On Monday, financial firm Goldman Sachs issued a new forecast pinning the likelihood of a recession at 45%. That's up from 35% the previous week. Futures are sharply higher as markets rebound from Trump's sell-off. Dow futures are up by more than 1,100 points. On Monday, the Dow lost 349. That's Your Money Now.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinnair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinnair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology. He'll be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, get pumped up for some high-energy fun from classic rock cover band Class X at the Gulfside Pavilion. Class X features two powerful lead vocalists and a vast array of material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It's at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
-5. This is the sheriff's budget that was recommended that we voted on for the next 3 years.
I had the opportunity to sit down with the sheriff, his chief of staff, as well as the county administrator. And I just wanted to thank the sheriff for what I thought was somewhat reasonable negotiations. And I look forward to working with him. It's going to benefit all of our districts, I think. But I just wanted to say thank you, Chip Simmons, and thank you, Wes, for your leadership on that. So that's all I had to say on that.
Thank you, Chip Simmons. Thank you, Wes Moreno, for your leadership. You're mostly reasonable or somewhat reasonable. That's a tiny little bit of shade from Mike Kohler, the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners in Escambia County, talking about our dear Sheriff Chip Simmons and negotiations over the three-year interlocal?
Three-year.
Yeah, all right. By the way, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So what's in this agreement? You know, what's the cost of your service, growth? Tell me what we're looking at.
Well, it's really as simple as we, as an independent constitutional entity, go to the Board of County Commissioners for our budget. That's statutory.
I feel like, you know, let's just take 2 seconds and explain it. A constitutional officer is somebody that the state constitution provides for the election of that operates independently from the Board of County Commissioners. But as is normal in every county, they still get their funding from the county commission. So even though you're independent, you're not independent. You don't control your own funds because, of course, you can't raise your own taxes directly. So anyway,
yeah, it's checks and balance.
Right. So just when we say constitutional officer, maybe not everybody gets that phrase. I just wanted to stop for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and it's as simple as the Board of County Commissioner funds county operations, but they also fund the five constitutionals. Which, again, the sheriff's office is included in that. So we go to the board and we say, hey, these are the needs. By statute, we're required to say this is what it costs personnel and operating and then jail if we had the jail. And then the board will decide, more or less. We can appeal the budget if we want to the governor.
That happened a few years ago under David Morgan, right? Yeah.
Well, the appeal was – there was an appeal initiated, but we mediated.
You resolved it, yeah.
But over the years, over the 20, 30 years of the sheriff's office, there has been a couple of appeals that has gone to the governor and the governor decides. So there's some checks and balances. So what I did is I met with the chairman and I met with Wes Moreno. Me and my chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, went to – the county commission and said, hey, this is what the needs are. And we discussed it. There was some back and forth, as there should be. Mm-hmm. I understand that the county has to fund a lot of things. There's a lot of people pulling at their purse strings. And we developed a middle ground here, more or less, that I think that allows for manpower and allows for competitive compensation for our deputies and what they deserve. So that's what we went forward with, and it's an amount of money that will allow for current operations but also allow us to add 8 deputies this October, 8 deputies the following October, and then 8 more deputies the third year of the interlocal.
To a staff of 400 deputies?
We have about 448 sworn deputies right now.
Okay, so this is about a 2% increase each year.
Ultimately, what I looked at is how many deputies we have in obviously, in the current population of Escambia County, but also with all the future growth that's going on in all neighborhoods and where we need to be. I happen to think we should be around 500 deputies in Escambia County, but I also understand you can't get there all in one bite.
Sure.
We have to kind of work towards that. So this is to me, this is a big step towards getting to where I think we need to be and to prepare for, you know, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road. In the past, probably 10, 15 years, we haven't been able to add before I took office, we weren't able to add sworn deputy positions because we weren't able to hire. We had a lot of vacancies were filled up. We've made some changes. We have our own police academy now, training academy, mm-hmm. and it allows flexibility. So, you know, there are many times during the year that we have zero vacancies. In fact, just last month we had zero vacancies. Since then, we've had some attrition, so we have a couple of vacancies. We have one class that's about to graduate, another class starting. So my point is we are getting the deputies to come to the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office is a place people want to come to, and we're hiring local and military veterans, so that works out. So deputies, but also allows for an amount of money that I can discuss with the union, collective bargaining, and I can figure out exactly where the pay raises go to.
And so on that note, current annual budget is –
About $95 million.
Okay, and the next 3 years are going to be 100.
100. It goes up $5 million, $6 million, and I think $6.5 million.
Okay, so 100, 106, and 112 ish, something like that. The following years. Okay, which includes accounting for the inflationary costs, period, right, includes some pay raises and also includes the 8 new positions stepping up to 8, 16, 24 new positions over the course of the next 3 years.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. All right.
The comment was that, you know, it's the largest budget ever. They're always larger
of course
than last year's budget. You can't afford to, what in today's dollars you can't afford what you could before,
right?
So that they all do go up. You know, insurance goes up, everything pretty much goes up, but I think it's a fair budget. I do appreciate the Board of County Commission looking at it and working with me on this. It allows the county to move forward with their budget process.
They know what they've got left
because, you know, we're a drain
big
on
chunk,
on the finances. It allows me to be able to look at not just this year, but next year whenever we start to look at what we're doing with our manpower. My intent right now is to put all 8 in each year on the street, put them in uniform, responding to calls for service. Because as I mentioned before, the basic law enforcement as basic level is entering 911 calls and going to help people when they need help. But then my intention on the compensation part. While I haven't quite, come to exactly where I'm going to go with it, my hope is to give the deputy level a little more percentage than the upper administration.
Okay,
so that's why it's going to take me a little bit of time to figure out that.
Okay,
and also not I don't want anyone to forget about the non-sworn positions at the sheriff's office. But while a lot of attention is focused on the cars and the uniformed deputies, but you have to understand there's a lot of support that takes place at a law enforcement agency. Crime scene dispatch, and then all of our support.
Telecommunicators, which I don't think falls dispatch. Under your purview, but right, you know, dispatch.
It does.
Oh, it does.
We have our own dispatchers.
Oh, you have your separate. Oh, for the office, right, as opposed to the county. Very good. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. More questions in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on Blue Angel Parkway going southbound right around Mesquite Drive, there's a vehicle crash with injuries. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm still seeing some delays southbound on Blue Angel. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. A quick follow-up for you, Sheriff Simmons, about the deputies hired in the positions. We're at around 440, you said 440?
About 448 or so.
Okay. And the good news is that we are able to hire when we want to hire because right now we're in a better environment with the agency than we were a few years ago.
Correct.
You say we want to be around 500, so 448, 456, 464 is growth towards, but still short of where you'd like to see us be. Two questions. One is, I had thought that the county was going to start working in a direction. I know it was Ashley Hoffberger's intention to bring the county in the direction of, hey, if we have a 5% population growth, the sheriff shouldn't have to come and ask us. The EMS fire shouldn't have to come and ask us for more people. We should have a built-in formula that resolves this because if there's more people, there obviously has to be more coverage because more people, more problems, right? And more revenue, both. Mm-hmm. But there's been no indication of an interest in that yet, right?
Yeah, and some counties do have something similar to that.
Okay.
Where they take a look at that and then they get their funding based upon the ad valorem growth.
Okay.
It's not my job to determine where the money comes from. It's the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay.
The County Commissioners are responsible for providing the pay. The budget for the sheriff's office, but also the facilities.
I guess the reason I bring it up is if we had a surge of people next year,
right?
You know, being up 8 is going to still put you farther behind because we had a surge of people. I guess I'd rather see some metric that makes it, hey, we got more people, we got more sheriffs, you know, like more sheriff's deputies. Like that to me makes more sense than every 3 years you have to come and negotiate a deal. Now, so far it's been with you at least and this board, it's been fairly amicable, which is good.
And those are all the conversations that we've had. The number of where we are now, where we took a look at everything from the number of houses the neighborhoods that the county has approved, and where the projections are. And so those conversations do take place, but there's not a that I'm aware of, at least there's not something in the county that says if this goes population goes up to this,
got it,
then you get this amount of money.
The other question I have has to do with sort of what I understand to be a fundamental inefficiency in how police agencies work with staff, and that is you're budgeted for, let's say, 460 in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But if 20 people quit, well, you had to wait, and you know they're going to quit. You had to wait for them to quit before you can hire. Instead of what makes more sense to me is, okay, we got 20 openings coming. Let's hire ahead, get them in the process so that the transition is less painful because having to wait to quit is like having to wait for the schools to be overpopulated before you build a new one. I'm not wrong about that, am I?
Well, and again, these conversations do take place on a weekly basis. When we know that people are going to retire, say, you know, if they're in the drop program, they have a certain end date. And when we know that we're going to have, say, you know, 10 of those in 1 month, then, we start that hiring process because it does take a long time to hire a deputy. So we overfill a position.
Oh, you do?
As long as we stay within the budget the year. So, okay. I can use the one thing that has been rectified over the last couple of years is that the sheriff's office, the sheriff can move money back and forth. Once the budget's approved, then I can do whatever I need to with the budget. I don't go back to the Board of County Commission for the...
Okay, so you can actually make a solution to what I was talking about by creative use of the funds you've already been appropriated.
Yes. That's,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's,
okay. All right. Fair enough. On to other topics, because again, I love to see the growth. I think it's important. I'm glad to see it's an amicable relationship. And, you know, look, I'll be honest, you know, I hate to pay so much for law enforcement, but I'm really glad to have law enforcement, you know, and it just costs a lot of money. So that's just the reality of it. So,
well, there are,
and it's a basic function.
Exactly. I don't know that there's any county, that the sheriff's offices isn't the largest draw on finance.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we don't make money. but you have to have the safety in your community.
I did want to ask you briefly about spring break. No major incidents this week, which I love. I'll take that. That's right. A great news report, especially when we're talking about budgets. On spring break, also no major incidents, but your signboard, your message board. Yeah. I think the one I caught was something about, you know, fighting is prohibited on Pensacola Beach. Made my wife laugh, made me laugh. But as I understand it, that's actually the third iteration. What was the first?
I think that the message we wanted to get people to get around to people, because we knew the clientele, we knew the people that were coming.
Sure.
And what we didn't want was for word to spread, hey, Pensacola Beach is where you go
the
and
fun
have,
place, right?
And it is a place you can go and have fun, but it's not a place you can come to tear up our beach. You know, we value our beach very well, so we want people to know that if you mess around, you'll find out what
did
what
you put that on the
place.
Board?
Well, I mean, there was a
mess is not the acronym
there,
by the way.
There was a. There was a message that you know, don't try us.
Okay.
Is kind of what I'm going with.
Good.
And then I looked at, and it seemed like we had a couple of fights, and they were all ladies that were
okay.
fighting.
Okay. Yeah, we know one famously, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, well, let's just, you know, remind them. The girls may want to have fun, but if you fight, you can go to jail. And then the third one was, I'm not sure exactly
something
what the wording
generic,
was on
I'm
that.
Sure.
Yeah, it was
okay.
basically don't
enough.
Mess up our beach. But we've done this the last couple of years. We just want to make sure that we get people's attention.
I do want to make sure we note, coming up this weekend at the Five Flags Speedway from 10 to 2 on Saturday, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, right?
Yeah, our third annual Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. It's the Sheriff's Foundation. It's their largest fundraiser, and if you recall there, they fund the Blazer Academy, both the men's and the mm-hmm. ladies' Blazer Academy.
Movie nights.
They fund movie nights. They fund Dream Big program, and then they also obviously support the men and women of the Sheriff's Office.
I don't want to get into it too much, but the world's greatest charter boat captain? You guys have water patrol, water enforcement,
well,
right?
It's funny because I
or
walked in.
Or is it
in,
all fish and FWC?
What's odd about it is when I walked in, I heard you say you were the world's best radio host you'll ever hear. I don't know. I didn't know what was going on in here. But I will tell you
I'm not boarding any other talk shows, you know, in the morning and no. getting them on a GoPro.
Hijacking that sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, right.
Piracy. I saw the video, and I obviously when I see those videos on social media, I'm
sure that
it's not from here, and I'm angered for the 21-year-old that this bully would take the actions that he did. I think it's very dangerous for you to board another person's boat in anger.
He's lucky
you know,
he didn't
and
die.
Uninvited.
I mean, frankly, in that process, yeah, or get seriously hurt.
You know, I'm not the world's greatest swimmer you'll ever hear of. So if you board my boat, I'm assuming you're going to hurt me, if
yeah.
not kill me. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. And we see videos like that, not like this, obviously, but we see and hear these disagreements that take place mm-hmm. on the waterway. People are trying to fish here, and people cross their lines, or scuba divers, is all that type of stuff. So, but we do hear about those. We worked with Game and Fish or
mm-hmm.
Florida
Fish and
FWC
mm-hmm.
now. And the Coast Guard obviously handles some of that stuff as well. So in that case, I think they even had three different agencies.
Yeah, there's several that were investigating this. And he's been arrested now, too.
Arrest, yeah, and for felony, and I think that's absolutely correct.
Last thing, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about, obviously, horrible story out of Walton County. We had a deputy who was doing everything right and winds up losing his life in a shooting incident over in Walton County. You guys were involved in this, obviously, honor walk and the honor parade. Caravan for him. You're wearing a black ribbon across your badge right now mm-hmm. in honor
Morning
of
band,
Deputy
yes.
May. But I just wanted to give you a chance maybe for a minute, because that's kind of all we got left, but I'll give you a minute to talk about this and what it's meant to your agency and, you know, how when this happens, what happens?
Well, and obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to the deputy's family and to Walton County Sheriff's Office. I spoke to Sheriff Atkinson a couple times over last week, and then whenever they went to collect and to escort the body back from Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, from Sacred Heart to Walton County. And they talked about how their agency is doing, how they're handling it. It's a shock. And when we hear of these things, certainly one that's local in our circuit, Walton County Sheriff's Office is close enough. And like I said, we all share the same circuit. So we work together on a lot of things. And so we know some of our deputies know their deputies. We're in a lot of training classes together.
Yeah.
So you hear these things and you wonder, you know, again, you're reminded that that could happen here.
Yeah.
As we're talking right now, we're probably responding to four or five of those types of trespassing calls as we speak. And in this particular case, he was simply escorting the guy out, and then he turned and started firing at the deputy. Sheriff Atkinson has said that there was nothing tactically that he did wrong. And there are so many right ways to do this thing and a couple of wrong ways to do things, but you just never know.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds us that this is a dangerous job, and we deal with people with mental illness. We deal with people that are under the influence,
yeah,
on an hourly basis. And that's, it makes you kind of appreciate the people that are still willing to do the job.
I have a weird, the way my brain works kind of question, but when there's the funeral, when there's people are just can't do their job because they're so upset or depressed, mm-hmm, is there any, do you send officers over there to cover shifts and patrols, like to backstop them like you would in a, you know, a disaster?
We can, yes.
Okay.
And we've done that in the past. Because Walton County is close enough to us, then we obviously offer whatever they needed, whether it's just because you said they don't have enough manpower at that particular shift, or if it's during the funeral, which will take place on Saturday, which unfortunately we have our other event. But
right.
So we have offered to do what we can. And typically what will happen is the surrounding counties, Okaloosa
will
County, and then there's another counties to the east will help. And then we may backfill with them, with their manpower. But we're going to do whatever we can to help our friends over in Walton County. And we know that they do the same thing for us.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for what you do. Thanks for keeping us informed. Have a great event this Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. You take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with that one accident that happened on Mesquite Drive and North Blue Angel Parkway, the southbound lane. So if you're traveling on southbound Blue Angel, you'll see some delays there. Also, I-10 eastbound is backed up all the way to 9 Mile through the Highway 29. So that's an extra 20-25 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the rain is going away, but flooding risk continues in the South and the Midwest. 4 days of heavy rain have sent floodwaters across a large section of the U.S. Rivers are continuing to swell. Budget carrier Avelo Airlines is working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement to fly deportees out of the country. Company CEO Andrew Levy said it's a sensitive topic, but this deal will give the company the stability it needs to keep providing their regular passenger service as well. And a trial getting underway in Colorado this week. 45-year-old Michael Correa is the first non-U.S. citizen to ever be tried in a federal court for torture committed in another country.
Correa
is from the Gambia. He's accused of torturing six people in that country in 2006. He came to the U.S. in 2016.
Golly, wow. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Sam Abel from the city of Gulf Breeze about what they did last night at their meeting. We might have a fourth episode of Days of Our Milton. You never know what we might be able to get in. Also, ground was broken yesterday at the PSC Aviation Training Facility for the Aviation Mechanics Training Facility, $16 million facility. This is WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Milton. Fox News is up next.
A rebound looms on Wall Street. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Stock futures are surging up a